What if I told you that anxiety actually leads to better grades? After me saying that, do you think like what I said was crazy, outlandish, or like kind of like out of pocket? Good. Very good, actually. Because I want to show you the truth to this perspective, to this way of thinking. Days of research, reading scientific articles and journals, looking at interviews of like very popular. If you could imagine, you're opening an exam paper, your heart starts to race, the palms start to get sweaty, and your mind goes blank. I've been there myself too. And all the knowledge I feel that I've studied and, try to build up over these weeks and months just slips away under the weight of the anxiety that I am feeling. And we've always been told, or we've always been taught, this is a bad feeling. Whenever you feel this, you should be worried. This is not good. But when we get into the definition of what anxiety, or in this case, test anxiety actually is, it gives us a different perspective. Anxiety, or especially test anxiety, is said to be like an alarm system in our body to tell us when there is an imminent challenge. So something is going on externally and our body's like, hey, we don't like this thing, you know, here, be careful, right? But anxiety is a natural emotion. Yes, in some instances, it can be more hindering than helpful, but in the right doses, if we manage it effectively, it can actually be helpful. How so? Well, let me give my own personal examples, and I know if you maybe could relate. Whenever I have like a speaking engagement and I have to do like some public speaking, I feel it so anxious. All these butterflies, oh Lord, like what's going on? But I'm able to then, when that presentation starts, channel that energy into the actual speaking engagement, right? Many of you probably too have had deadlines for assignments, and that anxious energy gave you almost like a fight or flight response to get so much more work done in a shorter period of time, and you got the assignment done before the due date, right? So there are instances where anxiety helps us and gives us the necessary energy to overcome obstacles, challenges that we will have, especially in our academic pursuits. But then this begs the question, for those of us who have the more intense feelings of anxiety that is almost crippling and hindering, how could we mitigate that anxiety to know to come to proper levels so that it could be helpful, not hindering? That is where I want to lead this discussion to. After doing my research, I came across this paper that talked about like anxiety. The actual name of the paper is How to Reduce Test Anxiety and Academic Procrastination Through Inquiry of Cognitive Appraisals. Long story short, it's a big scientific term about how we can reduce stress by asking ourselves a certain set of questions. These questions are called inquiry-based stress reduction. That's just a fancy term. These questions are used to reduce stress, anxiety, sometimes feelings of procrastination, and they tested it in students, persons in academic environments. The questions were used so that you could take action against your anxiety. So you know how there's some person who's like, yeah, you should write down your feelings. And like, if you're anxious, if you're nervous, you should like write it down so you like know how to deal with it. But you write down that you're anxious and then there's no steps taken to like what to do. There are four questions in this ISBR method, right? And we can go through each of them. So the first question is to ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? So for those given the circumstances we're talking about, you feel anxiety. You feel high levels of stress, which may also lead to feelings of wanting to procrastinate. Good. We've identified what the emotion is, what the feelings that we are feeling are. The second question of four in this ISBR method is, can I find a reason for this feeling? So why do you feel anxious, right? For most of us who feel test anxiety, it may be for a couple of reasons, and I'm just going to address some. The first could be fear of failure. Despite all the work that I've put in, all the studying, all the revision, all the attending of classes and all these hours of work, what if after all of that, I still fail this exam? Fear of failure. What about fear of stakes? You're not necessarily afraid that you're going to fail the exam, but you know that to do this exam all over again, if something does happen, you have to wait a whole nother semester. If it's a course you're doing, you have to repeat to do the course. What if this is the exam that is going to lead to you getting that promotion at that job that you need to help support your family? So the stakes are so high that it causes you to feel anxious. What about fear of inadequacy? That despite all the effort you may do to study, to do so with effective studying, all the effort you would have made to do past papers, what if you are just not good enough? That there's no amount of studying that you can do to actually pass this exam. That could be the thought process. These are the most popular triggers for those of us who face anxiety. Fear of failure, the fear of stakes, and the fear of inadequacy. Good. That is what the second question has allowed us to identify. We have identified our triggers. What are the root of these feelings? The third question of four in this ASBR method is, how do I react when I believe this? So I am anxious. I have determined what the trigger is. How does this cause me to react? Well, I get nervous. This anxiety caused me to feel stressed. Then when I get into the exam, my mind goes blank. It frustrates me. I decide to stop working altogether because I don't think I am good enough. So any work I can do will not help me. So I'm just going to stop and accept whatever the results are with doing no further work. So the impact of this feeling of, again, crippling anxiety, we did establish that there are levels of anxiety that can help us, but this level of anxiety is hindering us, not helping us. So that's the impact. It has an overwhelming negative impact. The fourth question in this ASBR method, who would I be without this thought, without this emotion? So if I was not an anxious person, because of my fear of failure, fear of inadequacy, or fear of high stakes, who could I be? Maybe I would not stop doing the extra work I know I need to do because I actually do think I am adequate. Maybe this fear of failure does not stop me from going into my exam and blanking out. Maybe it has other positive benefits because now if I don't feel anxious, I don't feel as stressed. And my mental health improves. I feel more relief and more at ease instead of on edge approaching any sort of exam situation. So that's a possibility you have. So the good thing about this, as I talked about versus journaling or like breathing exercises, I'm not saying that those things are not effective, but it's like walking through a maze without a clear direction. You are making progress. You're trying to find your way out, right? But there is a better way. I realize it for myself, even going through these questions for myself, I won't say that I've been overwhelmingly anxious, but I have some situations when I have been anxious or feelings of wanting to procrastinate because of my feelings of inadequacy. It has helped me to take action. So I'd say that these questions are more like if you're navigating that same maze with like a detailed map, because you're not just writing down the emotions you're having, you're writing down what the triggers are. How do they make you feel? Who could you be without this? And that should prompt you to do this. Take action. Create a plan of attack. So now that you know how impactful these feelings of anxiety are, understanding that yes, there are levels of anxiety that are helpful, but if the intensity of your emotions are hindering you, how could we bring that down to those normal levels? First thing you want to understand is that it is possible to bring that anxiety down to normal levels. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to craft a plan that is going to give you the evidence so you do not have to have those feelings of failure, do not have to have those feelings of inadequacy or high stakes. So the first is with reference to your study schedule. I would have talked about that before. You can go and check out other podcast episodes I've been discussing about semester success formula. But you're going to design a timetable that is well-balanced. It has ample breaks. It kind of has your course plotted out so that as you progress, you can see yourself getting better in each topic, each subtopic, whatever the case is. Because in doing whatever semester timetable or schedule or study plan you're doing, have constant assessments. So you can have an assessment at the end of the week for yourself, a little quiz, a little exam that you take, a little review of a chapter summary or something like that, to make sure that you are improving week to week to week. Why is this going to help? Well, you are going to see yourself improving. So that is going to combat any feelings of inadequacy that you may have. Awesome. How do it combat fear of failure? Well, you're going to actually see yourself improving, so your likelihood of doing well on the exam itself is going to be a lot better. All right, what else can you do in creating this plan of attack? Do not let the exam be the first time you get put under exam conditions. Why is that? Because if instead you, on a regular basis, even if it was for like half of the exam or one section in the exam, put yourself under exam conditions, then you would feel comfortable, then you would feel more adept, so that when you go in the exam, it is a normal environment that you have become used to. Sometimes this fear of failure, inadequacy, and high stakes is because this is something so new that we've never exposed ourselves to, and it's like, oh my gosh, so overwhelming. You can combat that by putting yourself in exam conditions prior to your actual exam. And lastly, make sure that you embrace things like active learning, spaced repetition, right? Pre-study, priming, but it's going to enhance your retention and your understanding, so you don't feel like you're just putting in all these hours and you're not getting the necessary return on your investment for your time, right? Actually find more effective ways to study, because that's going to bolster your confidence when you do go into this exam, because you're going to retain more information. So if you need some of those, you can go check out the previous episode of how, you know, 5 hacks to learn faster in less time. The difficulty we would have now, we've established that we have anxiety that is crippling and too intense. We understand that without that anxiety, we could be such a better person. We have now created a plan of attack so that we could reduce our anxiety to these appropriate levels. What is left? Well, we need to execute on that plan. How can we be certain that we actually follow through, so that when by the time this exam comes, we only have those appropriate, normal, helpful levels of anxiety? I can talk about a couple of ways. The research paper that I found that I think is so helpful in this regard, it was about finding the association between family support and coping strategies and anxiety in cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy. The reason why this is so important, it talked about the effectiveness of doing things as a community with other people, that it lowered the anxiety because you didn't feel like you were by yourself. So it wasn't you facing a dragon alone. It was you and an army of persons, of brothers and sisters, trying to slay this dragon. So you don't feel as anxious that you're going to die, because you feel that you have overwhelming support on your end. The first thing I'm going to communicate that I know for myself that's helped me, but for sure could help you in executing on this plan of attack, is to have a community of persons that you can engage with. This could be through study groups or like from our online forums. If you're really looking for that, just sign up at WebLearn, and you could join our own private community, the Scholarly Circle, on a trial basis, so that you could have that relatability between people who are feeling the same emotions and have the same thoughts as you do, and there's similarities between your journey, so you can encourage and motivate each other, right? If you are not like a complete people person, just find one accountability partner. So a friend or a mentor, someone who has been down this path, who can help you navigate and stick to your plan. Wink, wink. I also kind of have that kind of service because we do online coaching, everything at weblearn.com. The two last things is not as easy to implement as just being around other people. And it can take some reinforcement on your end, but it's to have faith in the work that you do. If you have a timetable, you're using effective study methods, and you are have constant assessments that are showing you that you are improving, you have to have faith in the work that you have done. I know that's easier said than done, but trust the effort that you have put in. If you've really, really, you know, exerted yourself so as to make the necessary improvements in all of the necessary areas for this exams, recognize that this intense level of anxiety does not serve you, and just see it as a signal. It's not a sentence. You haven't been sentenced to having a failing exam, or you haven't been sentenced to prison or something like that. It's just a signal. Understand the role that anxiety plays. It is natural. It's a natural feeling. It doesn't have to control you. But go through the questions that we did. Understand the negative impact that it is having, and take steps. Have evidence to show that you are not a failure. The stakes are not too high because you've broken them down on a week-to-week basis. You haven't tried to conquer the whole exam material all at once. And it's not that you are inadequate, because you've taken steps to use more effective methods. You have created a timetable, a study schedule. You're even doing it with other people to help you, to bolster you, to encourage you. So if you've taken all the steps necessary to ensure that you do as best as you can on that exam, your anxiety, it should decrease. Big disclaimer, I am not in health. I am not a certified health professional or a doctor to be speaking on these things. And there are some of us who have crippling anxiety due to actual significant mental, emotional, psychological issues that we do have. If you are one of those persons, I do advise you to go see a doctor, right? I'm speaking to those persons who have this crippling anxiety that who would like something else to try. But if you go and you try these methods and it still does not work, very much I would advise you to see a medical professional to see if there is some other interventions that may be necessary. Anxiety can lead to better grades. It is the alarm system that gives us that energy when you have a deadline for an assignment. It's when these levels get too high that it is a hindrance. Use the ASBR method so that you could bring those to appropriate levels of anxiety. Have a plan of attack. Have a study plan. Do it with other people, right? Use effective study methods so that there's no need for you to have that fear of failure, failure of inadequacy, or fear of high stakes. You can do this. And if you conquer that anxiety, you harness it for what it really is, that is the energy that you could be using to improve your grades. I want you to transform your academic experience. And the best way that you could do so is by joining our free course, the 21-Day Stress-Free Scholar. In this course, you're going to learn the essential study techniques, time management strategies, and even personal development skills to excel in school while maintaining your overall well-being. You can enroll now for free and kickstart your journey to academic success at weblearnt.com. weblearnt.com. See you there.